Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Wyoming. Today is Thursday, October 27th, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are in More About Alcoholism, and we are on page 37, reading the fourth paragraph only. Today's readers are Lorraine N. and Kara L. The share ID for October 26, 10 a.m. meeting is 19,565. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, is 19,567. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Patty F. to read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Patty F. from Massachusetts. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives would become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Patty. And I'm now going to ask Deb E. to read the 12 traditions. Thanks so much, Deb.
Good morning, Debbie in Montana. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Oh, thanks so much, Debbie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone so that we can have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 37, reading the fourth paragraph only, and I will now ask Lorraine N. to begin reading.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lorraine N., recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. Our behavior is as absurd and incomprehensible with respect to the first drink as that of an individual with a passion, say, for jaywalking. He gets a thrill out of skipping in front of fast-moving vehicles. He enjoys himself for a few years in spite of friendly warnings. Up to this point, you would label him a foolish chap, having queer ideas of fun. Luck then deserts him, and he is slightly injured several times in succession. You would expect him, if he were normal, to cut it out. Presently, he is hit again, and this time has a fractured skull. Within a week after leaving the hospital, a fast-moving trolley car breaks his arm. He tells you he has decided to stop jaywalking for good, but in a few weeks, he breaks both legs. Excuse me. Sorry about that. It's early here in Oregon. I haven't talked yet. This is probably the paragraph that I disliked the most in this whole book when I first read it. I thought this paragraph was absurd, and I didn't understand why I was reading about a jaywalker and what the heck that had to do with my compulsion to overeat and my addiction to food. So now, after studying this book for the last couple years here, I relate totally to this insanity as it relates to my eating. I mean, I did the same thing over and over and over. And thinking, you know, I could beat the system. Like, he thought he wouldn't get killed eventually, I guess. So I know today that I cannot beat the system, that I never have this under my control, say. This is something that I had at birth, and I believe I'll have it till I die. The word that stands out for me is he gets a thrill. He gets a thrill. And some smart person on this line once said that excitement is the first phase of addiction. And that stayed with me because I know in the past when I got hooked by the thought that I want to eat, I would get this feeling of excitement as I planned what I was going to go buy. I was excited when I was driving in the car to the store. I was happy. I was excited. I was pleasant to the checker while she was checking all my, you know, sugar foods. And I was just, you know, I looked like just a normal human being out to buy a little ice cream and cookies. And that feeling of excitement, you know, it and the thrill of, you know, thinking I'm getting away with something and just wanting to be alone with my food. God, am I so glad. I mean, that used to be the highlight of my day, to be alone with food at the end of the day. And so I am just so grateful for this program and that I have a solution today, the solution that I can ask for inspiration and direction, that I can do a 10th step, that I can call another recovered member and reach out. And, you know, this network all over the world now, to be able to pick up the phone or jump on a Zoom meeting or listen in a phone meeting, I mean, there is help available 24/7. So I don't have to drive to the store late at night to get my junk foods. And I tell my sponsees, if you want to know what your trigger foods are, they're those things you drive around late at night looking for. And I tell them, I never drove around looking for broccoli. You know, I like broccoli, but it wasn't one of the things I drove around looking for. So I totally relate to this paragraph now of Jay Walker. And I'm looking forward to all the other shares. Yes, thank you. And I'll pass with that. Great meeting.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Lorraine. And let's see, before I take a lineup, I just want to remind everyone that we do value your experience and we ask that you limit your sharing on a Vision for You meetings to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please hold back. So please give me your name one at a time and I'll take a lineup.
Leah
Kara L.
B.
Ben from Oregon.
Kathleen
Wendy
O.
D. Leah M.
Leah.
Debbie B.
Debbie B. Anyone else want to be added?
Kathleen C.
Kathleen.
Brenda A.
Brenda A.
Pat C.
Pat C. Okay, let's start with these five. I have, I heard a Leah M, Debbie V, Kathleen C, Brenda A, and Pat C. Go ahead, Leah.
Hi, everyone. Thanks. My name is Leah. I'm a compulsive overeater, food addict, and restrictor. I just wanted to hop on and say that I am looking for a sponsor. I am direly, direly looking for a sponsor. I know I need one. Please, please let me know if you're available. I recently ended a relationship with a previous sponsor, so I need a new one. I'll leave my phone number. My number is 9.
No, I'm sorry. Leah, we don't do that right now, but please stay till the end of the meeting, and we're going to have time for sponsors to leave their name and numbers. And if you could just tell us where you're from, people can find you on the phone list.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Wait,
yeah. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from from Pacific Standard Time.
Okay. Thank you. Please stay till the end of the meeting. Okay. Did you want to share on that paragraph, Leah, that we read today, or was that all you wanted to share?
Not today. Thank you.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Okay. We're going to have Debbie V up next. Go ahead, Debbie. Star one to unmute. I think I heard that right. I thought it was Debbie.
Sorry about that.
There you are.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. We hear you perfectly fine. Go ahead.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. The Jay Walker story for me is kind of hilarious. My husband is a member of AA. And before I got abstinent, he had asked me, don't you relate to being the jaywalker? And the jaywalking thing was like the last thing that I could relate to at all. But when I look at it now, I can see it's the perfect, the jaywalker story is the perfect example for me of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And for him, it was expecting to get across the street, maybe without getting hurt. I don't know. Maybe the expectation was to get hurt. But for me, when I eat, I had the same expectation every time that I could do it differently this time, that, you know, I would be a normal eater. I wouldn't gain weight as a result of binging. I wouldn't have the chatter going on between my ears. You know, here, you can do it again. You can do it tomorrow, or you can start tomorrow. You can lay off until Monday. Yeah, you know, just exercise a little bit more. All the chatter that goes on in my head, with that jaywalker story and the insanity. And thank goodness for a program and working through the steps, because my abstinence is three meals and nothing in between. My abstinence for food is three meals with nothing in between. And I think within like 2 or 3 weeks of that abstinence, that chatter just disappeared. Now, that's not all of my abstinence, of course. It was working through the steps that's really got me more recovered than just the food. And of course, it's my higher power. I can't not jaywalk without my higher power. I can't not eat those things that cause me allergic reactions, mental chatter, and cravings without my higher power. And, you know, that's ultimately what this program is about, and reaching out and creating that relationship with the higher power. I hear my higher power through fellows, through hearing sharings, and through phone calls, and other people. Sometimes it's not program people that give me the message. So anyways, that's what I wanted to share for today. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Debbie P. And next up is Kathleen C.
This is Kathleen O. I think I came in before Kathleen.
Good morning. Yes, good morning.
Go ahead, Kathleen.
This is Kathleen C. from Connecticut, and I have been in and out of Vision for You phone meetings now for probably 5 years, and recognize again today. Yesterday was my first Vision for You meeting. I didn't, you know, just recorded, and recognize that this is exactly where I am and what I needed to hear. And the jaywalker story, again, reminds me that I am out of my mind. And not only am I, you know, coming in from my latest jaywalk across the street of food insanity. I'm hoping that this is my first step towards returning to sanity. I've been in, you know, I was recovered for many years, but obviously not cured. And I'm finding it so difficult the last few years, because I recognize what I've lost. And I'm trying to forgive myself for that, because I realize that in my now years of struggle after 6 years of freedom, that so much of my life has become unmanageable, and I experienced so many losses because of that. And I thank God that the founders of AA wrote this story. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Kathleen C. from Connecticut. And I just heard your name, Kathleen O., so I'll put you at the end of the lineup. So next we have Brenda A., followed by Pat C., and then Kathleen O. Go ahead, Brenda.
Morning, Brenda A. in New York, trying to recover one day at a time. I am a compulsive overeater, and I have a question. And my question is, let me just clarify. It has been suggested to me to attend ACA meetings, which I started.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is not a question meeting. This is just sharing on the paragraph that we read, but we do have an earlier meeting. So why don't you call tomorrow at, I think that would be 9 a.m. No, I'm sorry, 8 a.m. Eastern time, and then you can ask your question for the
Okay, then can I just share on the Jaywalker?
Please do. Thank you. About that.
I realized in my current relapse that I kept doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And if that's not insanity, I don't know what is. And I've been very, very high, meaning I've felt serene without food or alcohol. Sponsoring was essential to my life. Serving my higher power was essential to my life. But as a jaywalker, that's how I see myself. I did it one more time. And by the grace of God, I am praying to my higher power to remove the character defects that block me on my path back to abstinence and recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much for sharing, Brenda. And next up is Pat C.
Hi, this is Pat C. from New Jersey, compulsive overeater. I'm rather brand new to the program. I do have a sponsor and been working the steps, and it's been wonderful. But reading this paragraph again and listening to the person who shared on it, who read it and shared on it, I never associated like that excitement part with food. And looking back now, I can really see times where I was looking forward to going somewhere and not really to go to that place. I was looking forward to the food. That was really the main focus. Even after I volunteer and work really, really hard and burn off a lot of calories, I was excited to leave and run through my favorite fast food place and get my burger and fries. So it's funny how we listen to everyone and everyone brings a different perspective to every couple of paragraphs that we read. And I really enjoy that, and I like that, because then we get to see another side, or we get to realize that, wow, I didn't see that before, but now I see that. And I just believe that it's all really helpful, and I'm just so grateful to listen to everyone today and get a chance to share. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Patsy. And next up is Kathleen O., and then I'm going to be taking another lineup. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. You know, binge food, it burns us over and over again. But left to our own devices, we just can't remember what it does to us. We can only remember what it does for us. And yeah, that's an excitement thing. And I experience the same thing. It's like craziness. So all action is built in thought. And I believe the lie. Our behavior is absurd and incomprehensible with respect to the first, in our case, bite. And, you know, it's incredibly unreasonable, and it makes no sense. It's far from intelligent, the stuff I did with food. This example of the jaywalker, it's similar to page 24, where we're putting our hand on a hot stove, you know, thinking and trying to convince ourselves that we won't be burned, or in the case of the jaywalker, we're not going to be hit by a car. This is a mental twist that despite the pain and consequences, the pain has no memory and we pick up again. I did this over and over and over again, always thinking this time it was going to be okay to have a bite of a certain binge food, but the disease always got worse and not being able to stop due to the obsession of the mind. You know, the reality was there was no way to stop once I started. So my sick mind couldn't heal my sick mind. There was a solution that would restore me to some kind of sanity, because, you know, this was a form of insanity, the way I was around food and the inability to see the truth. And the real problem is the insane thinking that even once I had the knowledge, the wish, the need to leave it alone, I just couldn't. I had to admit I was without defense on that first bite. So the solution to my problem was a power greater than myself. And, you know, this power, I needed this power, I needed the steps, because without it, I'd find myself face down in the food again. And, you know, I had been abstinent from sugar for over a year, and this is before finding a higher power, working the steps, or even being aware of the big book. I just knew it was causing me problems, so I stopped. And after a while, I really didn't want the sugar anymore. And I felt better. I actually lost weight. But then I got married, and it was time for the wedding cake, and I thought having one bite of the wedding cake wasn't going to be a problem. And it wasn't a problem for about 48 hours. But being a food addict, I suddenly started thinking of all my favorite sugar binge items, and I had triggered the allergy of the body, and then the obsession of the mind kicked in, which is a huge part of my problem. And this meant I was without defense, and if you're the real compulsive overeater like me, it will make perfect sense to you that within 6 months, I'd gained 60 pounds. You know, I couldn't stop once I started because I had absolutely no defense. So this disease always gets worse. Normal people can eat a bite of their wedding cake, take a photo, and be on their way, you know. They don't think of it 24/7. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. And before I take another lineup, I'd just like to let everyone know where we're at today. We're reading the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 37. We've unpacked the fourth paragraph only. Our behavior is as absurd. Yeah, and so I just want to remind everyone that if you've shared in the last 2 days on any Vision for You meeting, that you hold back and possibly till tomorrow. So please give me your names one at a time. Thank you.
Ben.
Wendy
Ben
B.
L.
Southern California. Jamie M. Southern California.
Linnea
okay,
B.
Let me tell you. Yeah, let me tell you everyone who I have and make sure I got the four. I have Ben, Wendy, Jamie, Linnea.
Dion R.
Pam.
Dion R. Kim.
Pam in Seattle. Pam. In
oh,
Seattle.
Pam. Pam. Sorry, Pam.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. I have six. Oh, Jordan. Hi, Jordan. Okay. I have seven
six
now.
Ten.
So I think that's a good. I think that's good. So let me tell you who I have. Ben, Wendy, Jamie, Linnea, Dion, Pam, Jordan. Let's start with this lineup, and if I missed you, I apologize, and hopefully we'll have time and I'll get you again. Go ahead, Ben, unmute. Tell us where you're from. Star one to unmute. I think his name was Ben, but my ears may be off today.
Hey, do you hear
okay.
me?
Okay. Yeah, now we hear you. Go ahead. Thank you.
Sorry. I promised myself I'd never be that person that just talks into the abyss, and here I am. I'm part of the club now.
Okay.
No, my name is Ben from Oregon, and I am probably not even jaywalking. I'm just doing circles in the middle of the street. My grandmother this week is placed on hospice care, and so I know that I'm in a really vulnerable place, and yet I, for some reason, I, you know, I know that we've been talking about the insanity the last few days. And I was just in the insanity, knew my triggers, knew my vulnerability, and yet placed myself around the triggers, thinking that I could handle it this time. You know, and so I guess my thinking was, well, what can I do today? It's a new day. Let's make this day one that I'm sober from this disease. And I just thought, just going to be on this call and challenge myself to share, because I think it's been about 3 weeks for me since I've shared. So with that, I'm going to pass, and thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ben. Sorry about your grandma. Wendy, you're up next, followed by Jamie.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I love this paragraph, so that the jaywalker is experiencing, medical consequences. He's repeating self-destructive behaviors, that, if he was in his right mind, if he were sane, he wouldn't do, and the lure of the disease kept telling him the consequences aren't that bad, that the thrill of the moment, the instant gratification are worth the risk. And, and the consequences kept building, as the disease progresses and, becomes all consuming. And, and he no longer has any control over when or how often he gives into the temptation. And it's, dominating him. it's a disease trying to kill him, to prevent him from finding God's call in his life, preventing him from being a useful member of society, contributing to life of, of those around him. And he feels alone, like God's abandoned him, And in a way, God has, because he gives us over to the desires of our heart, the passions of our flesh, until we've had enough. And, and then we fall on our knees and ask for help. And, then he steps in and delivers us from our self-destructive tendencies, and he helps us, walk away from those things that hold us in bondage. He sets us free to align ourselves with his goals for our lives, to seek to do his will, not our will. And he teaches us how to be a good steward of our bodies, how to make healthy choices, instead of self-destructive ones. And he gives us clarity and sanity. And as we seek him and let our addictive substances die, we no longer feed the disease. We feed our spirits. And, we get our needs met through our relationship with God. And it's just a beautiful life. And thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Wendy B. And next up is Jamie, followed by Linnea. Go ahead, Jamie.
Hi, this is Jamie M. from Southern California, compulsive overeater, grateful to be here today with all of you. I have a mental twist mind. When I first came into Overeaters Anonymous a long time ago live, basically what they said was welcome. They opened their arms and they just welcomed me as if. And I never understood that till I finally understood that. I never understood this was a disease. I mean, the things I did with food, 3 drive-thrus, everything was food, 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 food. And I remember being carried out of a restaurant as my roommate at the time had to carry me out. Got home, this is it, I'm not going to do it again. A restaurant. I mean, and then I couldn't wait to get back in the car and go to the store. I'm suffering in pain. I'm in agony. Probably could have used the hospital. And there I am waiting for it to digest, and I'm back at the store. And at first, when I first came in, I heard that jaywalker story. And I didn't relate in the beginning. And as I've learned and been teachable and changed by my higher power, I am that jaywalker. And what I realize is every day I've got to get up. I've got to connect with God. I've got to do my program. And then I go about my business and do my life in between. I help others. Today I had to do a 10-step. The person suggested a few things, and I follow suggestions because I believe, for me only, that person that did the 10-step with me was speaking through God. And so thank God I have worked this program. And I'm in a very weird place right now. My sponsor and I haven't been able to connect. because due to me moving, due to her mother now is dying and her vacation in a matter of minutes, she suggested I get another sponsor temporarily to talk to. You know what? That's what I'm going to do. So what I know is my mentor, Chris, wants me to go to the store, go see all the food, and what I use for the word is crossroads. I have a choice. You know, there's no rules. I can either go the left with my disease, and that's one thing, and give up everything, or I can take a right with my higher power, peace of mind, and that's giving up one thing for everything. So thank you for letting me share, and I appreciate this meeting and all the service.
Oh, thanks so much, Jamie. Next up is Linnea B., followed by Dion R. Go ahead, Linnea.
Oh, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. My name is Linnea B., and I am a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. What a paragraph this is for me. I mean, it talk about a description of that they left here that I could relate to, and I try to identify with to find out, am I really, you know, am I a real compulsive overeater? And it just, it so describes, you know, when it talks about absurd and incomprehensible, that my behavior, it so describes the progression of the illness that I have experienced over decades, you know, and it describes the absolute, complete, and total mental blank spot that precedes the first compulsive bite. I mean, this just describes me 100%. It describes my denial. It describes the ego. It describes the inferiority. All of it that drives the making of alibis. You know, it'll be all right this time. You know, I'll quit tomorrow. I have a book like that called that. You know, all of that. You know, it won't be so bad next time. I can handle it. Ad nauseum and ad infinitum. And those are the kinds of things that progression brought me to my knees. You know, the lash of, I think the 1212 calls it alcoholism, but the lash of compulsive eating, you know, that, you know, was sending me to the gates of insanity and physical death. You know, this is not, this is some real business for me. And, you know, the idea about chasing that sense of ease and comfort, that food was my solution. You know, and the thing is that, and the paragraph makes me so sad. I feel the sadness of it, that pursuing a solution in food, you know, that really becomes the rapacious creditor, that becomes the killer. And what an awful dilemma to be in, to stand at that crossroads, scared to not compulsively overeat and scared to compulsively overeat, you know, and what was my choice to be? And so I'm all done here. So we have a solution in this book. Thank you, God. We have a solution in this program. So grateful. I am very grateful. Linnea B. Minnesota. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Linnea B. Next up is Dion R., and then followed by Pam, and hopefully we'll also have time for Jordan. Let's see how the time goes. Go ahead, Dion.
Hi, yes. This is... Hello. Hello,
Dion R.?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. Hi, good morning. This is Dion R. I hope you all can hear me very clearly. Excuse me, I'll try to speak louder. Thank you. First of all, higher power. I want to say that, and thank you, Vision, for you. Just thank you. I could breathe again. And I just was listening this morning. It's the second Vision meeting, I guess, I was listening to, and, you know, been listening throughout the weekend. It's just like, whoa, some of the knowledge, excuse me, some of the shares and knowledge I get from here is outstanding. It's like, oh, I wish I could package it, you know, grab a package and put it in my heart or whatever in my brain for when I really meet one of those outstanding moments, because the shares, I just want to get that out there. That was just so awesome this morning. It just had me going. And I just had to jump in here and share about the insanity of the jaywalking and getting those fast thrills, you know, anything to get me from me. My thing was the easy solution. The quicker, the better, you know. But I love, I'm just going to sub it like this. It reminds me of how free do I want to be, you know. I don't look down on myself or anyone else that had to do it over and over and over and over and over again. 23 years I ran and got those fast thrills. I'm going to try this diet. I'm going to try this step. I'm going to try this person, this sponsor. I'm going to try. And I love what someone said, you know. I got a choice. That's what my higher power gave me, a choice to choose. You want to keep doing the same thing over and over, Dion, and expect a different result? Or you want to align with my will and have an easier, softer way no matter what I live through, right? The key is I'm living through it. I look back through the years and many people who died, they have shown me what to do. Many people who live have shown me what to do. And so that I'm grateful for, that my higher power didn't take me, you know, because I did a lot of those. I want a quick way out. I don't want to feel. I. You come in a program and say, I just put that cotton in your mouth. Work these steps. Put the food down. You know, because next time you may not get, you know, just a broken leg. You may have a broken life, a broken heart. Or worse, that scares me the most is my heresy, you know. What message will I leave for those who come behind me? What message will I leave for the young ones who see me doing it over and over and over? And with this, one of my predecessors used to say, what you do speaks so loud, I can't hear what you say, right? So if I'm, thank you, honey. I hear the music.
Yeah.
What I'm great in, I'm sure, let me finish. What I do speaks so loud, right? I want to see my children get the answer like I have for the last 10 years, right? Because I don't want to leave that legacy of talking one thing and doing another. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. I have my legs and I have my life.
Thanks, Dion, so much. All right, next up is Pam. Go ahead, Pam.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity to share. Looking about the jaywalker and running into cars, continuously going in and going over and over again, running into cars. And I'm so happy that someone shared earlier the phrase, the pain has no memory. And then I just realized that the joy in, for me right now today, it's, I just want to acknowledge that the joy of having higher powers direction has no memory as well. So the joy of having higher powers direction has no memory. And how that this jaywalker story is working for me today is that I can so easily forget. I can be okay with the food. I can be okay with other parts because I have enough. Fortunately, I have enough memory in the program, muscle memory, to kind of guide myself a little bit without having this program or without having being and working the steps in the big book. But my other things come up, my self-doubt about small decisions or even the smallest decision, like getting, I know that when I'm working the structure of a program with this program that I'm doing the things that I'm procrastinating less. I'm being slowly every day, I'm doing something which is helping me to have my own dignity, even if it's like, I live by myself, but it's like, okay, I'm going to floss my teeth before I go to bed because I know that that's, you know, and brush my teeth and, you know, take that small step of taking care. And so it's the dignities are what are the cars that I keep forget, that I forget. I mean, I'm sorry, do you follow me? I forget about dignity. I can be okay with my food for the most part, but then really, am I okay? And that's flowing into some work I'm doing with my inner child, my little girl. And my little girl knows what it's like from this program in the past of having to feel good and having structure. And I give away her by choosing to look at other things that are not. So by choosing to run into the car, that is that I have forgotten that HP is a great director. HP is my GPS. Higher power is my GPS. And it's as long as I turn her on and as long as I keep it with me or turn it on. I hope you're following this. I love metaphors. And finally, and it's for me basically just to hear it for myself again that when someone else mentioned about rocking in circles, I'm needing to say for myself today that this program for my little girl, my inner child, for me, thank you, is important because that way I help surrender every day. And thanks. I hope you all have a great day. And all with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Pam. Where are you from? I didn't get where you were calling.
Thank you. That's Pam in Seattle. Thank you.
Seattle in Washington, so people can find you. Okay. Next up is Jordan L. We have a couple minutes, Jordan. Go ahead and close us out.
Okay, thanks, Sherry. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and I'm grateful to be absent and on a meeting this morning. I have read this paragraph. Sorry, that's my puppy in the background. I have read this paragraph hundreds of times at this point, and I'm excited this morning because it hit me differently than it ever has before. The Jaywalker story was kind of difficult to understand because, I think as a compulsive overeater, it's really difficult to understand because the consequences of jaywalking, like talking about getting hit by cars and broken legs and brain injuries and all kinds of crazy stuff, and I would say that compulsive overeaters tend to be very cautious people in general. So, I think it's hard to relate as a compulsive overeater in the way that jaywalking is such a extreme thing. Like it's such an extreme activity, right? Whereas compulsive overeating it's not all that extreme. It's like pretty subdued, right, as far as like harmful behaviors go. And it took it like that was my experience when I came into Overeaters Anonymous. It was really, really, really difficult for me to see that my life was unmanageable because there were other points in my life that it had been so much more unmanageable. so I just didn't like it didn't click right away. And now the way that I read this morning, it's actually more relatable as a compulsive overeater, not so much because of the consequences, but because I have to cross the street every single day. I confront that street, right? Like it's an activity that I have to participate in every single day. And like, I have to find a way through, you know, like with the help of a higher power and the fellowship here, I have to find a way to cross that street safely every single day instead of like going out of the crosswalk and jaywalking. It's such a perfect metaphor for the behavioral component of this disease. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thanks so much, Jordan L. And thanks everyone for a great meeting. And thank you everyone. For Team October for Thursdays, and also just want to apologize to Adrienne also that I didn't have her down for today, but thank you for your service in October. And now I would like to ask Kara L. to please read A Vision for You closing on page 164.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.